So what I'm going to do here is to present you with some idea of how we understand culture and what we do in practical areas to incorporate the cultural issues into language learning and into understanding different cultures that are linked to different languages. As you probably know, as the students of intercultural communication, there are different approaches to culture. Culture sometimes is understood as a social phenomenon because cultures, well, they emerge and they exist only in some groups of people when people interact. And this social dimension of culture is somehow stressed within the framework of this social approach to understanding culture. So culture within the framework of this approach is basically understood as something which is quite different from biological, physiological, or whatever, and which is a social phenomenon. Alongside with it, there is another approach which is generally called a cognitive approach. The founders and supporters of this approach, they dwell on the fact that culture is learned on individual basis, meaning that it's an individual who learns processes and then works within the framework of a particular culture, which serves to be a reason into understanding that culture is not anything real, anything in the outer world. All the culture is in the mental structures. It's the mental reflection of things real. That's a cognitive approach. There's one more, and the one which I would like to stick to. It's a symbolic approach. Culture is very much like a language, while the language, the national language, is a part of culture. And culture is symbolic, meaning that culture has got a certain structure. And within this structure, there might be forms and meanings, as we have in the language. As to the forms of a particular culture or culture as a phenomenon in general, I understand that everything that we see, experience, do is a form, be it the form of a particular table or chair or a room and how the chairs are organized here, or be it the organization of the government, if it is a parliamentary republic, a monarchy, a totalitarian regime. All these things are forms of the culture, as well as the patterns of our behavior, how we interact, how close we approach people while we are talking with them, in what way we are writing letters, and all other things. Those forms inevitably get in contact with one another, forming propositions, forming some organizations of these forms, which are pretty balanced, meaning that you can't have a form of free speech, freedom of speech in a totalitarian regime. But all of these are the forms of the culture. Those forms that are arranged into propositions that are accepted in a particular culture and believed to be true are cultural beliefs. And I believe that cultural beliefs have nothing to do with logic or things being right or wrong. They're just cultural beliefs are true because they are accepted by all the people belonging to a particular culture. We shouldn't look into any logic in these beliefs. Let me give you examples. And the examples I'm going to provide here would mostly be from Russian national culture, because I believe that might present the greatest interest. For instance, in Russia, we believe that it's nice, it's good to present people with flowers on different occasions. But we believe as well that if this is a festive occasion, some sort of a celebration, if it's a birthday, a wedding party, or some other ones, the number of flowers should be odd. If it's something sad or tragic, like a funeral, the number of flowers should be even. Why? If you ask anyone to explain it to you, why we believe that this is right for a particular occasion, no one would be able to analyze that. We don't know why. We just are used to this. We are taking it for granted, and we are following this pattern because our parents have been following it, and because we believe that this is something accepted, we believe that this is something symbolic, but we don't know why we are doing these things. Let me give you another example. In the Russian culture, while seeing Russian culture, I mean the culture of all the people who are living on the territory of Russia and who are thinking in the Russian language. I don't mean different, different ethnic groups for whom the Russian culture is a sort of an umbrella. So, back to the Russian culture. The Russian culture is something where it is believed that the black color is basically associated with some tragic events. And if it's a funeral, most of the people would be in black. Then there's a question, what about the weddings? During the weddings in Russia, the bride is usually in white, while the groom is usually in black. Can we trace the same meaning to the wedding, that for the bride, it's a festive occasion, she's in white or pink or is something like that, while for the groom, it's a tragic occasion and that's why he's wearing black? No, this is not the issue. But nonetheless, it is believed that the bride should be in white and the groom or in some light shades, but the groom should be in black. And everyone follows that. These are very simple schematic examples of what the beliefs are like. They are not logical. It's sometimes possible, but in general, very difficult to trace the origins of those beliefs. Nonetheless, they exist in every national culture and they regulate this culture. They influence how it functions and how people within the framework of one national culture understand one another. When some of the beliefs are treated like implementing the ideas of what is good and desirable and what is bad and undesirable, we eventually enter into the area of cultural values. And cultural values are what I believe the meaning of all the previous organizations of culture, of the forms, propositions, and beliefs. We have the form, which incorporates actual discrete forms, their propositions, and the beliefs about the propositions on the one hand, and this is all covered in my terminology by the word combination, the forms of a particular culture. And we have cultural values, on the other hand, which are, according to my terminology, the meaning of all the cultural forms. As soon as we enter the area of cultural values, in order to be able to talk about these values, to compare these values, we need some sort of a universal scale vis-a-vis which we would be interpreting and describing the meaning of different cultural values. And this universal scale should include something that has a reflection in all or in the majority of various cultures. And it's very difficult to identify these issues. And I'm not an anthropologist or a sociologist or a specialist in cultures. That's why I don't dare to identify those universal things. What I've done, I've borrowed one of the systems of universal cultural values from the sociologists, starting with Rokesh and Geert Hofstede and Milton Bennett and other ones. And I affiliate myself with the system that says that not in every culture people distinguish between alive and dead. Not in every culture people distinguish between love and hatred. Not in every culture people distinguish between, say, devotion and betrayal. This is something specific to some of the cultures. Yet, in every culture, people in one way or another demonstrate their attitude to the following things. People demonstrate their attitude to nature, which is understood in a very broad sense, like environment, social environment included. In every culture, people demonstrate some attitude to time. In every culture, people demonstrate some attitude to space, how they treat space, personal space. They demonstrate a certain pattern of communication, a certain pattern of the arguments while they communicate. Then, all of the cultures that have been studied by sociologists and anthropologists demonstrate a certain attitude to power and power distance and competition or the lack of that. They demonstrate a certain attitude to a personality and an individual being either autonomous or integrated into a group or some sort of collective activities. And all the cultures demonstrate some sort of an attitude to the nature of this individual. I would appreciate if you help me with something. Each of you has a plain sheet of paper, just a white plain sheet of paper. I wish I could have one too. I don't think so. Just a plain white sheet of paper. Okay, I can take one. So, if I could ask you to do the following things and could ask you to follow my instructions very, very precisely, I would treasure that. So, each of you has a blank white sheet of paper. Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you do the following? Close your eyes and follow my instructions, please. Close your eyes and don't open them till I ask you to open them. Close your eyes and follow my instructions. It would be better if you don't ask any questions at this particular period of time. Okay, close your eyes, please. Thank you. Fold your sheet of paper in half. Fold your sheet of paper in half. Have you done that? Now, tear off the right-hand corner of your sheet of paper. Tear off the right-hand corner of your sheet of paper. Have you done that? Everything with the eyes closed. Now, once again, fold your sheet of paper in half. Once again, fold your sheet of paper in half. Once again. Thank you. Tear off the right-hand corner of your sheet of paper. Tear off the right-hand corner of your sheet of paper. Once again, fold your sheet of paper in half. It's tough because it's pretty hard. I mean the paper, the sheets of paper. Mm-hmm. Ready? And tear off the right-hand corner of your sheet of paper. Now, ready? Eyes closed. Now unfold your sheet of paper. Unfold your sheet of paper. Is everyone ready? Now open your eyes and look at the sheets of paper that we are having in the hands. Look at them. Are they the same or are they different? So, just show them, please. Yeah. They are very different. They are very different. Why? We were talking the same language, although it's a foreign language to all of us. We were following some very simple instructions, but we got very different results. Why? Because even in this very simple form of communication, the meaning, what is half, what is right, what is corner, whether it's big or small, is different. And this is what happens when you communicate. You are using the same words, you believe that the same words are having the same meaning, but the picture that you are having in mind might be different. And if you take into account that we are not talking about blank white standard sheets of paper when we communicate, but we're talking about far more complex things, the deviation from what you mean and what your communicator gets as a picture of the issue that you are discussing might be very, very different. And this is what I would like to ask all of you to keep in mind while we are proceeding from now further on and talking about cultural meanings and how they are implemented in the patterns of behavior. While I'm saying behavior, I mean just the actions as well as verbal behavior.